I'm sure that we've all caught some of the Olympic Games. We've seen the agony of defeat and the glory of victory and all these other things. And you might remember the story of Eric Little. Who remembers Eric Little? You know it because you saw the movie Chariots of Fire. Remember? Da, da, na, na, na. Well, he originally trained, as you know, for the 100 meters in Paris in 1924. But he switched to the 400 meters. And, of course, he won a gold medal in the 400 meters. Why did he switch? Say it out loud with me.
He should
run on Saturday. Yes. He did not want to run the 100 meters because it was on Sunday. So tell me, what is so special about Sunday? Where can you buy a Corona today? The answer is always Glendale, by the way, but normally you can't. 10 years ago, you couldn't go anywhere. Can you test drive a car today? In some places. Can you get a Chick-fil-A sandwich today? Definitely not. Now, blue laws in the U.S. used to be pretty universal because it was Sunday. But now Sunday has become like any other day. Now, we usually look at this Pharisaical view of the Sabbath in today's gospel, and we scoff. Ah, what were they thinking? What did they know? But the Pharisees took the Sabbath seriously, as, of course, did Jesus. And Luke actually tells two parallel stories, one in chapter 4 and one in chapter 6. One is with a man who is possessed by a demon, who is healed by Jesus in the synagogue. The other is one with a man with a withered hand, who is also healed by Jesus on the Sabbath day. And the parallel is the evil spirit, the synagogue, and in the case of Luke chapter 6, the Pharisees who say, no, 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 not on the Sabbath. In Jesus' time, Sabbath keeping had become extreme. Some traditions detailed 613 ways to avoid breaking the commandment. 613 ways. Can you imagine reading through that rule book on how to not break the Sabbath? The Essenes, who were contemporaries with Jesus, they were kind of a separate community. They were kind of a monastic community, semi-monastic community. In fact, they were the ones who compiled the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Essenes wrote in their rules, "You shall not even defecate on the Sabbath." Now, think about the synagogue potlucks in that particular rule. So the question is it even necessary now to keep the Sabbath? And the old Protestant phrase comes up, we're under grace, not law. And the Sabbath is a part of the Torah. Well, if you walk around our neighborhood on a Saturday, you notice all of the many Sabbath keepers. They don't even drive their cars for the most part. And I feel a little bit jealous, actually, because they know what they're about. And they know what they're doing. And they're walking with purpose and focus. And they're also walking as a family together. Grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, kids, stroller, crossing all the busy streets around here, but they know what they're doing. It's kind of countercultural because of their faithfulness. Well, the early Christians, probably from the end of the first century, looked to the Christian Sabbath as the day of resurrection. St. Augustine called it the eighth day, the day outside of time. And for the sake of argument, we'll treat Sunday as the day of Sabbath for us. But is it still necessary? And why do we keep on doing it? Is it still necessary? What do you think? There's a rhythm, a natural spiritual rhythm about Sabbath keeping. And there ought to be a time when it is understood that this is a day of rest and a day of perspective. It's a natural rhythm, is it not? Now, we're Americans, right? Work hard, play hard. But we know that there's a time of day, every single day, when we shut down internally, even if we don't admit it. Raise your hand if you shut down between 12 and 3. I need an amen. And if you didn't raise your hand, you're not being truthful. And there are times of week for that as well. If you just keep going, mentally, physically, all these things, it just doesn't work. And frankly, we're not as efficient. Now, by Sabbath, I'm not talking about wasting time. I'm talking about redeeming time. The Pharisees, in a sense, were right. Sabbath is important enough to warrant a different kind of rhythm. And it gives the people of God a sense of identity. Oh, this is what we do today. This is what we're about today. The day of resurrection is why we celebrate Eucharist every Sunday. It acknowledges the limitations of our own world. And it is a proclamation of the kingdom of heaven. Alexander Schmemann says, as soon as you roll out of bed on Sunday with the intention of going to church, you're already making a statement about the kingdom of heaven. And especially, he says, when you say the words, blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and blessed be his kingdom now and forever. It's like you're stepping out for a while. Stepping out of time and space and saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Can you find God on the golf course? I sure hope so. In nature, yes, of course. But we create these buildings for a reason. Not just to be pretty, but because we're saying this is important enough for us to build an entire structure about out of it. We are part of something else. And this nave and this sanctuary speak to the world, saying, yes, we are part of something else. So is the Sabbath necessary? It is. I've already touched some of the reasons for this. Rest and perspective. But most importantly, Sabbath is for worship. It's interesting if you read the book of Hebrews. And Liam did a great job in his reading today. Good work, man. It is kind of a commentary on Numbers and Leviticus. But it also alludes to Christian worship. It references Christian worship on several occasions. The author of Hebrews, he's anonymous, or she's anonymous, we don't know who it is. The author of Hebrews says, it talks about being enlightened. I believe this is a reference to Christian baptism. It talks about tasting of the heavenly gift, about Eucharist. Now, Hebrews uses the if-then argument. If Israel was so important, if the law was so important, then what of the things of Christ? It says the same thing in our reading today. If the giving of the law, if Mount Sinai was holy, how much more the things of Jesus? And here is the reference to Christian worship. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood. He's not talking about the future. He's also not talking only about a spiritual experience. He's talking about the gathering of the faithful week in and week out. You thought we were just having donuts together, right? This is a time outside of time. He describes, you have come. Not you will come. You have come. Not you will someday. You have come. Do we not acknowledge that with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn? I figure we've been together almost 14 years in this pulpit, this nave, this sanctuary, and we have celebrated together the Eucharist about 700 times together. There have been times that were kind of clunky, right? There have been times that were emotional. Times where the presence of God has been palpable. And there are times when we've gone home and we've said, eh. You guys seen Despicable Me, by the way? The grandma. Eh. Right? But they've all been holy. All of them have been consecrated. When we hear the word, when we receive the word, it is a holy time, regardless of what we bring to it. Regardless of if we're fired up or not. Regardless of if we're emotional or not. Regardless of if we brought all our faith or not. It's a holy time. Is it necessary? Yes, Eric Little was right. And yes, even the Pharisees were right, to an extent. And it is a time of worship. But we don't want to miss the point of what Jesus is saying and doing today. He says in Luke 6 that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Sabbath is for healing, for joy, for deliverance, for celebration. Jesus heals. You go back to that first Sabbath that Luke records in chapter 4. Jesus gets up and reads from the book of Isaiah. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has sent me to bring good news to the poor, to bring liberty for the captives, to heal the lame, and to give sight to the blind." Luke repeats two times in our gospel today, "You are set free." He says this to the woman who is struggling with a spirit. "You are set free." And then later, "Should not we rejoice that this child of Abraham was set free?" Free. That is the purpose of the Sabbath. It is for celebration and healing and being set free by the Lord. This is why we gather. It's not to fold our arms and say, "We're at church, you're not." It's not to see ourselves as better than anyone else. It is to say we are free in Jesus. When the Son has set you free, you are free indeed.